the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salaamu Alaikum. Welcome. This is today's special, and we're going to speak about how to use leisure time. Salaamu Alaikum. Today, Sunday, is the 19th of Shaban, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Isfand, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of March, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, and from the Holy Quran, we choose chapter Az-Zumar, verse 56.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أن تقول نفس يا حسرة على ما فرطت في جنب الله وإن كنت لمن الساخرين.
Lest a soul should say, "Oh, how great is my regret over what I neglected in regard to Allah, and that I was among the mockers."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Dear friend, the day of resurrection is the day of regret. Underrating divine injunctions, and worse than that, mocking them all spring from neglect, following the emphatic injunction as to repentance and comprehension for the past wrong deeds. The blessed verse in question is saying that these injunctions have been sent down less on the day of resurrection. One may say, "Woe to me that I failed to act upon divine command, and I mocked his verses and messengers."
Is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Remember, we start a new topic for this week that was how to use leisure time. The blessing of time is one of the greatest blessings that Allah can bestow upon his slave. Allah even swears by time in some cases, as he says in chapter Al-Asr, that is chapter 103, verse 1, by Al-Asr, the time, because of the importance and blessing of time. And the Prophet of Islam said, make the most of five things before five others. Life before death, health before sickness, free time before becoming busy, youth before old age, and wealth before poverty. But most people are unaware of the importance of this blessing and are neglectful of their duties towards it, namely to fill it with acts of gratitude and obedience towards Allah. Prophet of Islam, Allah's peace and salutations be upon him and his pure progeny, said, there are two blessings which many people do not make the most of and thus lose out: good health and free time.
Mm-hmm. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the Islamic principles for leisure time. A commentary on the verse 77 of Surah Al-Qasas reads, "Use some of the wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on you for your hereafter by spending it in charity. Do not forget your portion of worldly life." Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Forget not your health, power, leisure time, youth, and vivacity, and seek your afterlife through them." That is, through these five great blessings, which are health, power, leisure time, youth, and vivacity. The next principle that we are going to talk about, which is in Islamic principles with regard to leisure time, is including work on leisure time. In a system based on religious values, working is revered as something scared, and the people living in such a society are not alien to assiduousness. In such a culture, leisure time does not mean being idle or wasting one's time, but it means that one should spend all his time doing a purposeful activity. Proper leisure time in Quranic culture does not equal idleness and not doing anything. The Holy Quran says in this regard that, "Therefore, when thou art free from thine immediate task, still labor hard, and to thy Lord turn all thy attention." Since the theme of being free has not been stated in this holy verse, and the word labor is issued here to mean hard work, the verse seeks to articulate a general comprehensive principle, which is to remind Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a role model for humanity, not to get rest after doing an important task, and to keep on trying hard. This verse emphasizes finishing one job and engaging oneself with another. Thus, generally advises anybody not to remain idle and never stop trying hard, but try to start a new activity as soon as you finish one.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now, what are benefits of the leisure time? One of the benefits is productivity. What does it mean? Leisure time can be good for productivity. Our attention span is a limited resource. Multiple studies have shown that to learn something effectively, we need to take breaks. Even a brief amount of downtime allow our brains to consolidate and organize. Leisure time enable us to re-energize, recharge, and even gain a new perspective when we resume our regular activities. For those who have difficulty implementing leisure time in their routine, experts recommend using breaks and downtime to pursue activities that will benefit long-term goals. Some examples are ways that people can link a leisure activity to something they want to accomplish are playing a sport or improve physical fitness, cooking a meal to have a creative outlet and improve culinary skills. Whatever you choose, it's important to find an activity that suits your needs and interests. If you don't enjoy the activity, you're less likely to stick with it.
Oh,
Are you with us? So, we go for ways successful people spend their free time. Let's learn. They read. Yes, reading is a lifelong skill, and successful people never stop reading new books. Whether it's fiction or nonfiction, books help give you a greater understanding of the world around you. They introduce you to new characters, new environments, new cultures, new philosophies, and new ideas, and might even help you build new skills. If you're reading nonfiction, at least, similarly, reading regular helps to build your vocabulary and your semantic comprehension, giving you greater communication skills and something to make small talk about during those particularly awkward business meetings.
Brothers and sisters, every minute we waste is an act of injustice against our own selves. Because I could have used that minute to benefit, to go forward, to progress, to advance. But I wasted that minute. And this particular minute shall not come to me forever for good. I've lost that minute, that hour, that day, that month, that year. This is an act of injustice. When you oversleep, when you overeat, when you overindulge, these are all acts of injustice, not on your neighbors or friends, against your own self. Yes, sometimes you could be oppressing others, you know. If a spouse overeats and he or she is out of shape, you could be oppressing your spouse as well, or other people who are around you. But the point is, the first one to suffer is you yourself. When you're not progressing the way you should, if there are people in your class, at work, in society, who are progressing more than you, who are working harder than you, by not competing with them, by not being with them in the same level, you're actually harming your own self. If in your class, you're not the one who's working the hardest and studying the hardest, then realize without the slightest doubt that you're committing an act of injustice against yourself. This is why the Quran says, وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Yes, there is positive competition. Compete with everyone in society, but in a positive way, because there's negative competition. Compete with everyone, with the biggest one, with the most successful one. Because if you're not doing so, you're the one who's actually missing out by committing this great act of injustice against your own self.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us contemplate on what Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace upon him, the 15th fallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has said about Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his reappearance. The master of the command was named as Mahdi, because he will dig out the Torah and other heavenly books from the cave in Antioch. He will judge among the people of the Torah according to the Torah, among the people of the Gospel according to the Gospel, among the people of the Psalms in accordance with the Psalms, among the people of the Quran in accordance with the Quran.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith. And this hadith is about the fear of Allah and its virtue. And it's been transmitted from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. You know, fear or khawf, the khawf of God, the fear of Allah, this is one of the great virtues in Islam. It's so important that It is the source of wisdom and knowledge. For example, this is a very famous hadith from the Prophet. It's been narrated that he said, "Ra'asul hikmat, makhafatullah." The foundation or the basis or the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. In this beautiful hadith, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, "O son of Adam, you will always be with the good, as long as fear of Allah is your motto and grief your cloak." Fear of Allah is one of these virtues that has been lauded and praised in many places and in many instances. In a hadith, it's been narrated that Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Fear is the garment of the Gnostics, al-khawfu Jilbabul Arifin." So I guess the basic message of all of these hadiths is that there's a connection between fear of God, the fear of Allah, and knowledge and wisdom, right? These two are somehow tied up with one another. But if we wanted to elaborate on exactly what this fear is, we can refer to a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "The believer lies between two fears. A fear of a sin that he has committed in the past and does not know what action Allah has taken with regards to it, and fear for the remainder of his life in which he does not know what destructive sins he may commit. Therefore, he always wakes up in the morning fearful, and it is only fear that reforms him." Right? At the same time, however, we should add the reservation that fear is not the only virtue of a believer. Rather, it's necessary also for a believer to have hope in God and His mercy. And that's why we say that the believer, he lies between hope and fear. The Prophet has been narrated to have said, "If you knew the extent of Allah's mercy, you would have depended on it and performed only a few good deeds. And if you knew the extent of Allah's anger, you would believe that you would not ever be saved." Right? So the believer is constantly in between these two states, a state of fear and a state of hope. But at the same time, we can't say that he's between them, but these both of them have their effect on him, and both of them influence his his mannerisms and his behavior. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtue of the fear of Allah and how the believer lies between two fears, in the words of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are again with Brother Ali Nasir, Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Brother Hassan Nasrullah, and Brother Fawad Haider. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Everyone is fine? Fawad?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So, welcome, brothers. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, inshallah, today in this session, we will be working on Ayah 23rd of Surah Ali Imran on page 53. We will have a short explanation, a recitation. We'll practice together, and then inshallah we will move on with the Tajweed rules. So, I really recommend you all, brothers and sisters, to stay with us till the end of this session, inshallah, to practice reciting and reading Quran Kareem with Tajweed rules. So, before we start, everybody, let's listen to the recitation of Ayah 23rd of Surah Ali Imran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يدعون إلى كتاب الله ليحكم بينهم ثم يتولى فريق منهم وهم معرضون.
Amazing. Alhamdulillah. Nice recitation. I will recite once. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan and Hussein. Inshallah, you will listen carefully and repeat. Our brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, inshallah, they will do the same. All right? Ready?
Yes.
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يدعون إلى كتاب الله
ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يدعون إلى كتاب الله
يدعون إلى كتاب الله ليحكم بينهم ثم يتولى فريق منهم وهم معرضون
يدعون إلى كتاب الله ليحكم بينهم ثم يتولى فريق منهم وهم معرضون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. In ayah 23 of Surah Al Imran, Allah Almighty says, ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يدعون إلى كتاب الله ليحكم بينهم ثم يتولى فريق منهم وهم معرضون. Let me say the translation. Have you not seen or regarded those who were given a share of the book, a knowledge from the book, who are summoned whenever they are summoned, okay, to be judged based on the book that they already believe in, that they have a knowledge of, a share of knowledge from that book, okay? When they are summoned, in order that they may be judged, okay, based on the book, some of them start refusing, or they deny the rules. For example, they are going to be judged based on the rules, okay? They start to deny those rules. They say, look, we don't have this kind of rules. Okay? But when it comes to judge others, not them, others, okay? They say, yeah, we got this type of rules. Okay? There are some type of people like this. So, Allah Almighty says, in order to judge between them, okay? ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّ فَرِيقٌ Whereat a part of them refuse to comply, وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ And they are disregardful. The message that I want to share with you, actually it's very clear, yes? Sometimes, we are Muslims. We call ourselves Shia Muslims, and I'm talking to all Muslims. Like, we know some rules from Islam, okay? When it happens, it might happen, okay? Those who are not really good mu'min people, okay? They might have these kind of situations. Like, whenever it comes to be judged, they should be judged, okay? Based, they make a mistake, for example. It doesn't matter, a political mistake, social mistake, whatever, okay? They are to be judged, okay?
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
So guys, about the explanation, about more details on this ayah, inshallah, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book. You may, inshallah, learn more. Now we will move on with the tajweed rules. We don't have much time to talk about, so we'll just start the important tajweed rules. So brothers and sisters, and also Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir here, the very first rule, what do you think? Let me read once the ayah, listen. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِنْهُمْ وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. It should be the pronunciation of some of the letters.
Yeah.
The letter first one. The first one is ra.
Before
Alam tara. Ra has a heavy sound. Yes. It has a fatha. So you should be careful. I heard Hussein recited Alam tara ra. So it should be because he just wanted to help us mention this rule. Yes? I know he knows how to read it. Just, yeah. Alam tara. Alam tara. Not Alam tara. Ra has a light sound, ra has a heavy sound. Okay, this one is the heavy sound. Alam tara ila alladhina. The letter dhal. Dhal has to be pronounced correctly. Utu nasibam. Nasibam. It shouldn't be like seen, it's a bit different. It has the sound of like when you pump the ball. That sound. Nasibam. They are a bit different. Min al-kitabi yud'auna ayn. Hassan? Ayn, yeah?
Yes.
How do you say ayn?
Ayn.
Ayn, mashallah. Yud'auna ila kitabillah. Oh, Fawad has this mistake, this problem. He can't pronounce ayn. Have you fixed it? Say it, Fawad. Ayn.
Ayn.
Ayn, good. Hey, Hamza?
Oh,
he has fixed it, mashallah. يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لِيَحْكُمَ. Ha, ha, ha. Don't say لِيَحْكُمَ. Sometimes students recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim this way. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. They completely change. Yeah? Ha with ha. You should pay attention. لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ. Min hum. This is ha. Min hum. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a slight one. Wahum mu'ridun. Ayn again. Then dad. Dad shouldn't be pronounced like dhal or dha. Okay? Dad. You can use the top part of your mouth with the tip of your tongue. Or you can use the edge of your tongue. The two edges. Okay? Either the right side or the left side with your teeth, okay? The back ones. So, mu'ridun. So, these are in terms of pronunciation. Now, let's mention some of the rules. Alam tara ila alladhina utu. Sometimes you see a sukun sign on the top of waw. When you see a sukun sign on the top of waw, you don't have to read that waw. It means not long vowel sound, okay? But here you don't have that sukun, it means you have to pronounce that waw. Utu. Long sound. Utu. Nasiban. Tanween. After the tanween, we have a word. Min starts with meem. Yeah. Tanween plus meem. Idgham. Idgham. With gunna or without gunna?
With
gunna. With nasal sound. Plus two counts. Stretch the sound for two counts. Nasiban. Right? Nasiban. Min al kitabi. Yud'auna. Fawad is so good at
Qalqala.
This. Qalqala. Bounce the sound of dal because it is sakin. Yud'auna ila kitabillahi. The lam in the word Allah, it is pronounced
lightly.
Why?
Because before the word.
Before the word Allah.
Has kasra.
The letter ba has a kasra. So the letter before the word Allah has a kasra. So pronounce it with a light sound. Kitabillahi. Not kitabillahi. No. All right? لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ مِمْ مُشَدَّدْ. We had a rule. مِمْ مُشَدَّدْ should produce
nasal sound.
Nasal sound. غُنَّة. And also stretch the sound for
two counts.
ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. فَرِيقٌ تَنْوِين plus ميم. إِدْغَان. Like the first one. نَسِيبَمْ. So, فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. مِّنْهُم نون ساكن plus ها. ها is from throat letters. إِلْظَهَار. Just read it. Do not change anything. مِّنْهُمْ. فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. وَهُمْ ميم ساكن plus ميم
إدغام مثلين.
إدغام مثلين. Okay, إدغام مثلين. It means the meeting of two identical letters. The merging of two identical letters. Okay, produce a nasal sound and read it. مُعْرِضُونَ. When you stop here, try to produce a longer sound. Stretch the sound. مُعْرِضُونَ. مَدْ عَارِض. مَدْ الْعَارِضَ لِلسُّكُونَ. That's all. Guys, alhamdulillah, we mentioned some important points about this ayah and also the tajweed, important tajweed rules. So please refer to the tafsir book, inshallah, for more explanation and also practice the tajweed rules, the recitation, inshallah. Stay with IRB English Radio and thanks so much to everyone who are here, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir. Inshallah, we'll be here again with you in the coming sessions. So stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio and also Sevilla International Schools for cooperation. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبي لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. During this month of Sha'ban, the month of Almighty Allah's mercy and pleasure, we will try to offer a glance into some of the passages of the whispered prayer of Sha'baniyah, or the so-called Munajat Sha'baniyah. Thank you in advance for staying with us. We'll be back again after listening to some parts of it.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. إلهي لم يكن لي حول فأنتقل به عن معصيتك إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك
وكما أردت أن أكون كنت فشكرتك بإدخالي في كرمك ولتطهير قلبي من أوساخ الغفلة عنك.
Dear brothers and sisters, we were discussing this excerpt of the great whispered prayer of Sha'baniyya. إلهي لم يكن لي حول فأنتقل به عن معصيتك إلا في وقت أيقظتني لمحبتك. My Lord, I had no strength to desist from your disobedience, except when you awaken me for your love, except when you awaken me لمحبتك, because of your love. Now, we have discussed different aspects of love and this relative term in the previous episodes. And for further elaboration, we can refer to the words of Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, in the supplication of Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Imam alayhi salam says, "By your might, O my master, even if you were to drive me away, I would not leave your door, and I would not cease to compliment you because of what I have come to know of your generosity and the vastness of your mercy. To whom can a servant go apart from his master? Whom can a creature seek refuge with other than his creator? O Allah, if you tied me with the chains of hell, O Allah, if you deprived me from among the people present on that day, your flowing streams of favors, and pointed out my scandals to the eyes of your servants, and ordered me to the fire, and separated me from the righteous ones, still I would not lose my hope in you, nor would I dismiss my anticipation of your pardon, nor would your love depart my heart." And this is so important when we consider the different levels of love that in the previous episode we discussed. We have different instances, different levels of loves, and yet you can see this level, you can imagine, there is no kind of love above which can be discussed.
Alhamdulillah, we have been given the blessed opportunity of witnessing another month of Sha'ban, which is the month of Allah's mercy and pleasure. حَفَفْتَهُ بِالرَّحْمَةِ وَالرَّضْوَانِ. Allah has covered this month with His pleasure and mercy. I thought it might be good to have a little introduction to Munajat al-Sha'baniyya. The late Imam Khomeini in many places on several occasions emphasized on this Munajat, and in one of his sayings he said that there are many important mystical points that one can understand from the Quran and whispered prayers of Imams. And then in particular, he mentioned Munajat al-Sha'baniyya, and he said philosophers, mystics may be able to understand some aspects of these whispered prayers. But if someone wants to really understand, must be a person who has himself achieved a high level of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he can have a taste, he can have an experience of what he says. In another place, the late Imam Khomeini said something very important. He said, "This Munajat al-Sha'baniyya is one of the whispered prayers that if someone pays attention to it and follows it and reflects on it, he can reach somewhere. He can achieve some levels of perfection." we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us in this month of forgiveness and to be pleased with us in this month of pleasure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, our families, our community, all humanity with His pleasure, with His reward, with the coming of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, with forgiveness, with being able to remain always on the right path.
So this kind of love that is reflected in Abu Hamza al-Thumali, that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam says, "Oh Allah, even if you tied me with the chains of hell, even if you did so and so, I will not lose my love in you." This is the most pure and sincere form of love. This is the most sincere form of hope and aspiration, which does not depart from the heart of the servant of the Almighty Allah, even if he is tied up in chains, even if he is deprived of the favors of the Almighty Allah, even if his misdeeds disclosed by him before the people, he will not lose his hope. He will not lose his love of the Almighty Allah. Now, we will continue the study of these remarkable forms of loves and hopes described by Imam Ali alayhi salam in the supplication of Kumail, to see how Imam alayhi salam discusses these kinds of loves, the kinds of loves that have different kinds of effects in our lives. One effect is that they are awakening us. These kinds of loves that the servant feels, this is the cause of being awakened. This is the cause of being away from the kinds of sins that the Almighty Allah counts. Now, in the supplication of Kumail as well, we have different instances. When Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "By your might, O my master and my protector, I swear sincerely that if you were to leave me with speech, أُقْسِمُ صَادِقًا لَإِن تَرَكْتَنِي نَاتِقًا, I would lament before you from the midst of the inhabitants of the fire with the lamentation of the hopeful. I would try to cry to you with the cry of those crying for help. I would weep before you with the weeping of the bereft. I would call upon you, 'Where are you, O the sponsor of the believers? أَيْنَ كُنْتَ يَا وَلِيَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, O goal of the hopes of your knowers, and O aid of those who seek assistance, O friend of the hearts of the sincere, O Lord of the worlds.'" This is one instance. And Imam Ali alayhi salam continues describing this kind of love and its effects until when he says, "Far be it from you. This is not what is expected of you, nor what is well known of your grace, nor is it similar to the goodness and kindness you have shown to the ones who have professed your oneness." And Imam Ali alayhi salam at the end states, "So I declare with certainty that were it not for what you have decreed about punishing your deniers, and what you have decided about making those who stubbornly resist, you would have made the fire, all of it, cool and safe, and no one would have had a place and abode in it." This is another instance of love that can be seen in the supplication of Kumail, as long as many other supplications and whispered prayers. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi وبركاته.
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان.
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان
شعبان بجمالك جلالك زهوبان والعالم يقول لك احبك يا شعبان.
والعالم يقول لك يا حبيبي
شعبان بجمالك جلالك.
احبك يا شعبان يا شعبان احبك يا شعبان
Every night and every day Every night and every day Never forget to say لا إله إلا الله Never forget to say لا إله إلا الله
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. Today we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Naqvi. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dear listeners, Professor Naqvi is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University, and we have had this pleasure to have him in the studio. We, in this program, discuss your problems, questions related to the Islamic upbringing and different topics which have a very great deal with the Islamic upbringing of children. And the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad and his family, may peace be upon them. Professor Naqvi, we have been discussing problems with the pampering child. So if a child is pampered much, and now we discuss what kind of problems he faces in the family himself. But now when he is having his own family tomorrow, if a child is pampered so much, now he has a wife who does not pamper him much as much he was pampered by his mother. So does this conflict between the two partners arise again now because of the extreme pampering of mother?
Of course, there would be naturally some problems if he has not learned to be behave himself, or maybe not realize the fact that now that age has gone, and now he has to take care of his family and his children and his wife in the beginning. So he should be able to understand the fact that he now needs to change his behavior. He needs to change himself as a father, as a husband. And it can be the other way around also. So the wife should also realize that now, after becoming engaged and after the consummation of this marriage, it needs to be developed in a positive way. And everyone, both of them are responsible for it.
Yeah.
You can't...
Because once you become a responsible person, then you have the first things that come right away is the saving money. And if a child is pampered so much, he, as a result, when he develops into an adult, he fails to save money, he fails to fulfill responsibilities, he has now the inability to work hard.
Even if he works, then whatever he